those were the non-moral attributes. He's infinite, he's eternal, he's immutable. But now, what doesn't change about him? What will last forever about him? What is boundless and limitless and cannot be contained about him? Well, his wisdom and his power and his holiness, etc. Let's look at his wisdom. He discerns the best ends by the best means for his glory and our good. His attributes are purposeful. And yet there is that battle. There are these voices that will whisper, if not shout at you, he doesn't know what he's doing. If God had answered your prayer request about what and how to do that thing, things would not be so pointless and useless right now, right? And that gnaws at us. But the Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Notice here you see that combination of the non-moral attribute with the moral attribute. His wisdom is infinite. Romans 16:27, to the only wise God be the glory forever through Jesus Christ. To the only wise God. I mean, do you believe that? Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Now let me say that we aren't even looking at the omniscience of God. He's present everywhere. We're not looking at the all-knowingness of God. The omnipresence of God is that he's everywhere. The omniscience is that he knows everything. We're looking at omnipotence, his power, just a second. There are so many attributes. We're not looking at his faithfulness. I was prompted by this verse, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. When we say he discerns the best ends by the best means for his glory and our good, his attributes are purposeful. We have to take that by faith. Where are you in that? I mean, this can be a real struggle for some of us. What about his power? He has all strength and force and energy, and nothing is impossible. His attributes are almighty. And yet, the battle line has been drawn. You hear the scream, he can't do it. After all, haven't you prayed about this need and nothing has happened? But the Bible says in Genesis 17:1, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blamless. In Genesis 35:11, God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. But he is God Almighty. Jesus said, or we read in Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, which we referenced earlier, his eternal power, see the non-moral attribute eternal with the moral attribute power, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. By the way, this verse illustrates general revelation versus what we call special revelation. Special revelation is the scripture. The general revelation is the creation. And through creation, there is this general knowledge of God, so that people are without excuse. He is saying that these invisible attributes are seen through the creation. That's why I said, though he's invisible, he's not without evidence. It's been made evident. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. But here you see this power, and it's an eternal power. Revelation 21:22, and I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, are its temple. In John 10:29, Jesus said, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You're secure, friend. He has all power. You have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing or no one will snatch you out of His hand. He's holy. Holy, another attribute. He's absolutely and morally pure, without sin, and not the author of sin. His attributes are unblemished. But again, something says to you, He doesn't expect you to be that holy. I mean, He may be, but He doesn't expect us to be. I mean, who says you have to stop that one vice? After all, you're only human, right? But the Bible says in Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." Verse 45, "For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." We read in 1 Peter 1:16, "It is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And then that great scene in Revelation 4:8, "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." Holy, holy, holy. Notice, too, the Almighty, which is His power. Notice, too, who was and who is to come, that eternal dimension. Justice. He is righteous and right, honest and honorable, unbiased and unprejudicial in decisions. His attributes are impartial. And yet, here we hear, He's unfair to you. Look at your unchangeable features and your lot in life. Since when has God treated you as well as He treats others? But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. He's without injustice. Psalm 89, verse 14, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thee." Justice is the foundation of His throne. It's a bottom line issue to Him. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him." You know, it's interesting, in Romans 3:26 we read, "For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." He justifies us through faith in Christ, and yet His justice is met in the death of Christ. But as He develops the theme of Romans, He comes to some issues that are troubling, and He knew His readers would be troubled by it. But in 9:14 He says, "What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be." Paul recognized that believers could begin to question the justice of God. They could begin to conclude that God is treating people and us unjustly, that within Him there is injustice. But again, we mustn't become theologians on the basis of our interpretations of negative experiences, but must choose to believe what the Scripture has to say apart from bad events or troubling issues. It's a choice. It's a choice made in faith. What about goodness? He is benevolent, loving, gracious, and merciful. His attributes are blameless. But you hear, He's not good for letting that bad thing happen to you, and you know it. If He isn't to blame, who is? But the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 34:8. "How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Psalm 100, verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 135:3. "Praise the Lord." for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. Psalm 25:8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. Psalm 119:68. Thou art good and doest good. John says in his epistle, 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In 1 John 4:16, and we've come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Again, God is love. And interesting, we've come to know, not just know about, but we've come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. What about truth? Truth. He is without falsehood and is the absolute standard and embodiment of what is certain and correct. His attributes are true. But we may hear, he, the God of the Bible, is just one side of truth. How can you say all these other religions are essentially untrue? I mean, there are many mountain paths to the top of the mountain and to ultimate truth. I mean, you're like a blind man touching just one portion of the elephant and you think that's the whole elephant, but someone else is touching the tail while you touch the ear. None of us see the whole elephant, but what we touch is true, but it's just not the total truth. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 31:5, into thy hand I commit my spirit, thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. In Isaiah 65:16, because he who is blessed in the earth shall be blessed by the God of truth, and he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight. But he's described as the God of truth in a polytheistic culture. He is the God of truth. That's why in John 3:33, he who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. In Romans 3:4, the believers at Rome were struggling with maybe what you were struggling, and Paul concludes, may it never be, rather let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. There is a tendency to hedge on the revelation that we serve the true and living God, as the Bible declares. We serve the true God, the living God. But we can begin to believe other kinds of things which the Bible said are lies, and you have to come to a point of either choosing that this God of the Bible is the true God and he's not lying, or he is. Paul says, let God be found true, though to every man be found a liar. There are people out there who are going to contradict the message that comes to us in the Bible, and you're going to have to choose, is that person true or is God? Paul says, the man's a liar. God is true. Then lastly, sovereign. He is supreme and autonomous in authority and decisions. His attributes are authoritative. And yet, you're going to hear this megaphone message. He's not in charge. Where's the evidence in the world? Where's the evidence in your world? But the Bible says, Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He's the Lord of lords. In Daniel 2:44, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. I wonder if Paul had those passages in mind when in 1 Timothy 6:15 he says that God will bring about at the proper time certain kinds of things he had referenced earlier. And then he says, he who is the blessed and the only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we read in Jude 1:25, "To the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty," here it is, "dominion and authority, before all time, and now and forever." How has God spoken to your heart about these things? You know, have we neglected learning about God and meditating upon Him in order to know Him intimately? Maybe this message has reminded you of the importance. You should listen again to what I said as you're traveling somewhere in a car. Just let these scriptures really speak to your heart and increase your faith. You know, have you doubted and denied Him because you were not exercising faith in the God of the scriptures? And have you let the sin of the world, the sincerity of non-Christian religious people, the sickness of good folks, and the silence of God in your life influence you to doubt and deny the God of Scripture? And have you been battling with Satan, the flesh, or the devil on these various fronts? As we began, let me ask you again concerning God being Spirit. Do you believe and behave accordingly, that He is invisible and unseen, yet evident and perceived, that His attributes are spiritual? Or are you now feeling that He does not exist, and if He does, why doesn't He appear? As for God being a person, do you believe and behave accordingly, that He is a person with individual identity and perfect character, possessing perfect wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, and is separate from His creation? His attributes are personal. Or are you now feeling that He exists, but He is not personal, definitely not all-loving and all-powerful? If He were, why would innocent people suffer and die? Infinite. Do you believe and behave accordingly? That He is boundless, limitless, and measureless in what He does and in who He is. His attributes are unfathomable. Or are you now feeling that He's limited? Is not something, after all, holding Him back from helping you? Where is He? Eternal. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He's without beginning and end and is unlimited by time? His attributes are forever. Or are you feeling that He'll bore you in heaven if eternal life is real? And what will you do forever? This can't be real, can it? Immutable. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He's unchangeable in nature or purpose? His attributes are incorruptible. Or are you feeling that He's changed on you? Did you not trust His character, and then He became silent, confusing, and cruel? What about His wisdom? Do you believe and behave accordingly? He discerns the best ends by the best means for His glory and our good. His attributes are purposeful. Or are you feeling that He doesn't know what He's doing? I mean, if He had answered your prayer request about what and how to do that thing, would things be so pointless and useless right now? Power. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He has all strength, force, and energy, and nothing is impossible? His attributes are almighty? Or are you feeling that He can't do it? Haven't you prayed about this need and nothing has happened? Holy. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He is absolutely and morally pure, without sin and not the author of sin? His attributes are unblemished? Or do you feel that He doesn't expect you to be that holy? And who says you have to stop that one vice? After all, you're only human, right? And I should insert, maybe you're questioning whether He even has that standard of holiness. Justice. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He is righteous and right, honest and honorable, unbiased and unprejudicial in decisions? His attributes are impartial? Or do you feel that He's unfair to you? I mean, look at your unchangeable features and your lot in life. Since when has God treated you as well as He treats others? Goodness. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He's benevolent, and loving, and gracious, and merciful? His attributes are blameless. Or do you feel that He's not good for letting that bad thing happen to you? I mean, if He isn't to blame, who is? Truth. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He is without falsehood and is the absolute standard and embodiment of what is correct and certain, that His attributes are true? Or do you feel that He, the God of the Bible, is just one side of truth, How can the God of the Bible say that all these other religions are essentially untrue? And then lastly, sovereign. Do you believe and behave accordingly that He is supreme and autonomous in authority and decisions? His attributes are authoritative. Or do you feel that He's not really in charge? I mean, where's the evidence in the world, since so much is without rhyme or reason? As we went down through those, which one of those may the Lord be speaking to you about? He's revealed to you that you're in a battle, and you've got to turn to the Word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Jesus says. And would He have you meditate? Would He have you ponder and thus begin to praise Him in this area and pray to Him in that area? You're at a crossroads. And others of you who do believe at all, but this has been a fitting reminder to you to believe even more. You believe even more. That you are being called to have faith in the unseen. That, like Jesus says, you're going to be blessed for believing even though you don't see. And that faith has created a confidence and a conviction and assurance in you that His promises are true. And that you're loving Him and that you're believing Him even though you don't see Him. And in fact, even as you've thought about it again, there is this joy inexpressible and full of hope and glory, as Peter declares. Let's just open our hearts to the true and living God. We, the members of East Lansing Trinity Church, having duly considered the teachings of Christ and the Apostolic Church, do herein set forth our convictions and beliefs in the matters of Christian doctrine, that God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We believe in God, a Spirit and a Person, infinite, eternal, and immutable in being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, sovereign. Father, we are so blessed to have this revelation. We thank You that You have revealed it to us by Your Spirit. We want to trust You even more. Thank You that we can know about You, that we can know You, that we can think rightly and accurately about You. And we who are struggling with an issue in our life have been appropriately reminded that we must turn to the truth, the Scriptures. And we do so because Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, by these earthly things, but by the words that proceed out of Your mouth. And we at a crossroads choose again to go Your way. We come under Your word, and we trust You. O God, may that attribute of Yours be displayed in our lives more than it has been. We open ourselves to You and would ask for Your encouragement. We cannot manipulate You. We cannot demand of You. We do not deserve. But we pray that Your Holy Spirit would have mercy upon us and that You would counter our doubts and our denials by evidencing Your attribute in our life where we need it. We look to You now. We anticipate this with tiptoe expectation. In Jesus' name, who reveals the Father, and trusted Him. Amen.